Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
For real? You guys don't want to work for me tonight? Oh, okay. Well, welcome to MMA Madhouse Live. For some reason, our player does not want to play anything correctly. Let me try it one more time and see if we can make this work so we can... Yeah, I don't get it. Oh, there we go.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors. Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Draco Impact Armor, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and Jax Media. Always supporting local MMA, you're listening to MMAMadhouse.com live.
MMA Madhouse 5, number 164. I'm Skip, and this is my partner in crime, Mr. Labaki.
Select.
Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls me nothing except for your mother, and she's burnt your monkey ass.
What's up, Joe?
Dude, not much, buddy. So here's some exciting information. Either tonight or next week is my 100th episode of MMA Madhouse Live.
Holy shit. Are you serious?
Yeah, bro.
I've been stuck with you
that long. I started it somewhere. It was either 64 or 65. But it could have been 66. I just can't remember. It was right in there. It's right in this, like, stretch right here that we're in.
Wow. Welcome to the 100 Club, buddy.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. Like, I was thinking about that, like, a lot today. I was like, and I should have just looked, but I totally forgot because, I mean, like everybody else, I've got a real job.
Well, you know, anybody out there who wants to go back and hear your episode, you know, your debut on Madhouse Live, they can always go back and listen to any of the archives from any of the podcasts we have.
Yeah, dude, that's for sure, man. You could go back and listen to our first interview with, like, the Jocelyn and Jillian Leibarger, the twins. God, man,
Do you know who, honestly, this is going to sound shitty because we love them, but... The one guy we've had on the show consistently since you came on board, who has probably grown by leaps and bounds as a fighter and a world champion now, but he is the exact same guy on the show that he was the very first time, and that's Bershak. I mean, it's no different. He is exactly the same character.
Yeah, dude, that's going to be that's a very good point. You know, his, like, he was almost 100 episodes ago, too, because, like, he was, like, one of the first, like, two or three shows I was on.
Yep.
Like, you know. And me and him just clicked, you know. I mean, I'll just let everybody know that Friday night, I'm going to do a very in-depth sit-down interview with Anthony Burchak that, if it doesn't get too long, will be up this weekend. And then what we have planned is MMA Madhouse and Luda Elite MMA Management are going to team up to do a Google Hangout with Anthony. So we'll be able to let you fans interact with him a little bit more. He'll probably be sitting on camera with the belt because I don't know that he goes anywhere without that thing right now. He was at the barber. He was getting his son Van's haircut the other day, and the barber was wearing the MFC title.
That's classic. I love it. And I believe today he did a big photo shoot, right?
Yeah. He did have the big photo shoot today too. I was looking at the pictures of that. Yeah, they got big. They're making some really good moves down there. Sounds like Courtney's fight with Pearl is currently under.
Review.
I guess it is under investigation. You know.
Yeah, review maybe.
Yeah, review definitely that. But I think though that her fight camp admitted to Pearl having spray tan on.
That's so wrong.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It'll be interesting.
Well, and that is a very interesting. Because, for guys, we've heard that there's guys out there who've done something similar to that in the past and tried to get away with it, you know.
I don't really know that Pearl was doing anything intentional. I don't really think it was like, I don't know. I don't think it was like planned and intended. I just think it's like, you know, I mean, dude, I mean, I love Sarah Kaufman and she's a badass, but I don't understand how she always goes out there looking like Casper the Ghost, man.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, dude, I was reading, I think it was on the UG, and I even think Sarah Kaufman commented on the thread on the UG. Was something about how, you know, the more pale you are, and this is actually kind of a true theory. I'll expand on this momentarily. But, you know, being so pale that when she takes damage, it looks a lot worse because, like, the color, like, is so easily, you know, you can tell, like, super easy. And that,
yeah.
You know, goes back to, like, in bodybuilding where bodybuilders of, you know, all races, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, they all use heavy doses of spray tan because the darker you are, the more muscular and defined you'll look. So, you know, I mean, I could understand that. You know, kind of a little psychological edge for Pearl. You know, she wasn't really thinking about when she started sweating that it might get real slippery because, you know, like when spray tan, when you put it on initially, is kind of sticky.
Here's the question I want to know. When did she apply the tan? Was it a day before? Was it 3 days before? Was it an hour before?
No, that's the question that'll tell us, you know,
what's really going on. Was it just an accident? Honestly, just a misforgotten step that, you know, people just don't take a second glance at usually, or was it applied an hour before? You know, and then at that point, well, you know, the question you got to ask is why would you be applying, you know, bronzer an hour before, you know? So I guess it comes down, that's the first question that's got to be answered before anybody can really go any closer. It's speculation.
Oh, no, I totally agree. Well, you know, and there was also, you know, I don't really understand what the ref was talking about, but, I mean, the groin shot that was not allowed time to recover, you know, we had a long conversation with Anthony Hamlet that night, if I remember right, about the groin shot and how he said the rule is that there's no gender specificity to it. You know, it just mentions a groin shot. It doesn't say, oh, a groin shot to a male fighter. And I'm sure getting kneed in the vagina hurts too, bro.
Well, obviously you have nerve endings like just like a male does in that area. So, yeah, I mean, it's. I don't know. It's interesting to see some of the issues that are developing you know, in the sport as a whole, but on the women's side, you know, they've had to deal with a transgender issue. Now they're having to, you know, now they've got another issue like this, which is, you know, a lot of girls can. A lot of girls use that.
No, yeah, I mean, I agree.
You know, and if it's not as, if they turn around and say, look, it's an unfair advantage, the question then becomes for these ladies who like to, you know, tan and bronze themselves, what's the limit? Can you do it 5 days out? Can you do it 1 week out? Can, you know, so this is going to be an interesting outcome. It truly is. It's going to be something that we definitely as media should pay attention to.
Oh, yeah, it's going to set a precedent. Imagine if Akiyama came out like, Akiyama was like super tan already, but you know that Akiyama wants to put more shit on.
Hell yeah, big sexy baby. Gotta be
sexy Yama, yeah, man. I mean, you know, if he could like come out like probably like with like spray tan being put on him as he walked to the cage, you know, Akiyama would do that shit. He would be like pioneering, like leading the charge on that.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree.
Be like, and we're inducting Akiyama into the UFC Hall of Fame, not necessarily for his talents and abilities, which are definitely worthy of the Hall of Fame, but because he pioneered the usage of spray tan on his way to the cage.
I get so see this becoming a big issue, a lot bigger issue than people think, you know, especially depending on how they rule.
Oh, yeah. Hey, on a side note, you may want to just message Mike Camp and see if you have any luck real quick.
Okay.
I mean, just like, I would just shoot him a message on Facebook.
I could do that.
I'm on I-5, or I would do it. No, but yeah, I think the outcome of that will be really interesting. If anybody has any kind of questions about it, you can go and they discuss this in depth on Inside MMA on Access TV. So you can go to their YouTube page or you can go to at Courtney Casey MMA, I think is what it is. No, Cast Iron Casey MMA or on Facebook, Courtney Cast Iron Casey fan page, and watch the videos there.
Hey, and speaking of Mike, you know, son of, if we get him on, I want to talk to him about was that Rhino Fighting Championship card. But it looks like, folks, that today they posted Rhino Fight beat the 170 amateur male to fight Ben Luttrell, a 155 amateur male to fight Jay Johnson. Oh, and a super heavyweight to fight Billy Craig. And this is sanctioned by ISKA. A, blood work needs to be 6 months or newer. Just so everybody knows. Hey, believe it or not, I guess I can send a message to him.
Are you not friends with him?
No.
Wow. That surprises me.
I've had a friend request sitting in the inbox forever. But I do want to, what we got you. Oh, Shamrock FC, isn't that what Chris is going to?
No. Oh, no.
Yeah. That's in Kansas City, Missouri. Shamrock Fighting, Saturday, Friday, yeah. Either way, I was curious what you thought about all the young and talented Asian fighters being signed up, left and right.
Well, they've got like two events lined up for Asia coming up, so I'm sure that a lot of them are signed to one fight deals and then like with a win option. Like if they win, they probably get like a 2-fight extension at standard increments. If they lose, sayonara. I think they're probably kind of using these Asian UFC events they have planned as kind of like a tough without having to do a whole season. Where they can place some, like, I mean, because they just signed Heat's welterweight champ today, Kamishu.
Yep. And I saw that, Doho Choi signed with Sucker Punch Entertainment this afternoon, which leads to probably the fact that he's not signed with the UFC. It's not a for sure, but I would say it's 95%. So, I hope that the fans here that are, you know, the zombies, really pay attention to these Asian fighters and see what kind of, you know, talent has been developed there and start paying attention to the leagues in Asia.
Yeah, but Asian fighters will always have two things going against them. 70% of them don't cut weight, so they normally fight, like, really close to their walking weight. And 95% of them can barely wrestle.
I can give you the wrestling off the bat. Hands down, I can agree. It's still developing there. You know, me and you have friends who are actually going over there and working, and gyms we know going over there and working as well. And we also know, which a lot of folks listening might not know, that there's a university over there with a wrestling class that's the size of a wall, literally, wall-to-wall mat. I think Pat Healy said he saw close to 300 groups of two wrestling at one time. So, you know, they're developing that, Lapaki. I agree. They're definitely developing it, so it's behind. But they do have great ground games still, you know, with not only BJJ, but also Russian Sambo and the influence that Sambo's had in their country.
I agree, but it's like it's not something that
is trained every day.
Like, let me go here real quick. So Americans have been wrestling from like the age of four. You know, some of these guys. Like we talked to Bill Smallwood. Didn't he say that he started wrestling like when he was like two or three years old?
Yeah. He said once
so
he started
until the Asian mixed martial artists are at a generational point where they've had guys that have been wrestling since like that young age, because it's really wrestling's just now getting implemented over there. Really, I mean, you know, I guess we could say in the last 10 years that wrestling's probably picked up, but until they can go with like until these generations start hitting it that started in like 4, 5, 6 years old, that. It won't be until that time that there's really an equality in the wrestling. And even at that point, I'm not sure that it'll ever be equal, but it'll be a lot closer than what it is today.
Okay, and before we go to the next issue that you pointed out, I do want to touch on something there. They do, as a culture, they've studied Wuxing and karate, and, you know, all these other oriental martial arts, including Japanese jiu-jitsu, judo, taekwondo. I mean, we know. The list goes on and on and on. And Americans have been able to adapt for the last 25, 30 years to that sport and be more competitive in those sports and still have other regions of the world. But I agree. It's going to be a generation or two before we see legitimate wrestlers being produced consistently.
Yeah, I'm like saying like probably like 6 to 8 years before you're like, wow, this guy's got world-class wrestling at 19 or 20 years old coming from Asia.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, my big issue, which you touched on with your other point, and it's almost scary to say that this is a handicap, and that is that they walk their fighting weight in Asia traditionally. I like it personally as a fan of the sport. I think guys can fight what they walk, but they are at a huge fucking disadvantage right there.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. And
I mean, and I'm not, we're not saying that, you know, neither of us, just so the listeners understand, neither of us are saying that they don't cut some weight. I'm just saying they're not going through a huge weight cut. Like, they're probably, most of them cut probably 10 pounds or less.
I totally agree. Totally agree with that number. Where here, the average fighter in America is cutting 25 or 50 pounds.
I mean, like, I don't really care what anybody says, but Hiroki is, in Asian MMA, one of the elite grapplers. And I think people have even seen that in his two losses here recently in the UFC. But here, he's not. He's not world class. There's a lot of guys that are have better wrestling.
Yeah. But look,
Hayoki, 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 not and not Shinya, but Hayoki. I can't think of it right
hey,
now.
Anybody who knows Ben Stark knows Aoki is one of his favorite all-time fighters.
Oh, dude, Aoki is one of my favorites, bro. Aoki is a gangster, man. The double middle finger, how is that like, how is the double middle finger not like everyone's favorite thing that ever has happened?
Dude, are you serious? Dude, you got it. Dude, next time Ben's on, bring up Aoki. He hates him.
Really?
Oh, he'll talk mad shit.
Oh, dude, we're going to do it. We're going there.
Oh, dude, he will argue you till the show ends over that. But, you know,
that surprises me.
Yeah, he's not a fan of him at all. Speaking of out-of-country events, don't forget, folks, we're like 24 hours, 23 hours away from Escalante 18 going down in Rio de Janeiro.
Dude, I thought you were going to say O-Plot.
Shut up. O-Plot, dude. Now you're going to make me pull it up. Okay, folks, we're going to tell you what this week's schedule is. And I love it, dude. Amateur event on usually Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, and then a pro event on Saturday. Gotta love that. So.
I know you do.
O-Plot, where we go. Here we go. Here we go. Upcoming event. Waiting for Google Translate. November 1st. So that's Friday. O-Plot, White Collar Tournament. There's a kid from Kansas on this next event.
Really?
I saw it.
Gregory dropping the ball on that.
What's his name? Mark. He's a German guy. He promotes a lot of stuff, but he really his card. And I couldn't believe it when I saw USA Kansas on the amateur tournament.
Huh.
Yeah. But this is round two, so I guess I should look and see if he's still in the tournament.
Yeah, why don't you let us all know?
Well, I'm going to in a few seconds. Russian. I love how their stuff translates.
They're like, drink vodka, Mother Russia.
Nostrovia!
Yeah, Nostrovia! Now, that strictly resonates from Bangkok.
Yes, it does. Razoo!
And a big Nostrovia to our friends at Dare MMA and the Rebels of MMA.
I can't wait for their next card. Hey, do you know, I turned Jared Torgensen onto it last night. He's live for the 205.
Yeah, why don't you just throw a blanket statement out there that you'd pretty much just tell everybody to go to Derek?
Dude, $125,000 and a championship strap to the winner. Come on, man. You got to be pro. You got to have a record of at least 6 fights. They don't have to be wins, but they have to be good fights because they'll look at a guy with a loss or two or three or four. You know, but if they're good fights, look at Joe Ray, man. You know, he went over there after, what, two losses here at the base after the Strike Force debacle, and just put on a show.
I need to start picking their MMA better, dude. I only got, like, I went, like, 2-5 on the last card. That was bullshit.
I went 5-2.
Oh, shut the fuck up. That's because you were like, oh, okay, Ben. I listened to you, Ben.
No, because the two I lost, I changed because of Ben.
That's what I did on a lot of them.
Yeah, I know, that bastard. I think he set us up. He's like,
I was going with Joe Ray no matter what. Like, I wouldn't have cared if Ben would have been like, Joe Ray's getting knocked out in 10 seconds. I was going with Joe Ray.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you, folks, what we're talking about, Dave.
Damn, dude, the Tumblr site? Don't think I still don't go check out the Tumblr site. I got that shit bookmarked. I got that bookmarked.
I can't
the Dare Tumblr site? I got it bookmarked.
I can't wait for the next countdown. That's the last one.
Oh, dude. No, but now, though, every time we're going to wonder, is this on a girly boy? A lady boy or whatever the fuck
lady
they are?
Lady boys. Now, folks out there who have been wondering about Ben Stark and John Nutt live from Bangkok, I've been told that they're going to go away from the blog and go to Blog Talk Radio as well.
Really?
Yep. They're going to Blog Talk. They're going to stop the video show and go to Blog Talk and then go that way.
God, I'd rather have them go to GFL.
Well, dude, that's something I wanted to talk to Ben about. I was going to say, you know, what about putting your show on GFL? You can do it for free. You know, because
that's where the Rebels of MMA should be. And they definitely need to be a video show because,
well, you know,
I like watching them pass the bottle of Louis the 13th back and forth.
Well, Derek,
I mean, shit.
Derek,
this is Bangkok, baby.
Derek was on GoFight until they signed the television deal.
Yeah, I know.
But see, that's what's great.
And we need to get Tim to back credit us all those.
Oh, that's what we should do. Oh, I need to hit them
up. We need to look through, like, the history and start cherry-picking really old events.
Oh, and you can...
Because there's some, like, fucking sick-ass Ring of Combats, I think, with Chris Weidman on them. I think Ring of Combat is where Chris Weidman knocked out Uriah Hall.
Dude, it's on there. He put it up for free, and he got in a lot of trouble for it. Uriah Hall fucking threatened Go Fight Live, told him to take it down.
Yeah, fucking... Man... That's why Jason Miller called him out.
Yep. Oh, dude, they got dares all the way back to early 2011, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. See, we need to have Tim hook it up. You know, the listeners aren't taking advantage of the free passes that are getting given out. So we need to just tell Tim that from now on, instead of giving out free ones, just give us credits for old ones.
Dude, for real, dude. Oh, my God. Look at these guys that are on these cards.
I mean, just think, dude, we could do, like, a whole, like, Dare series, like, just breaking down the old ones to, like, get everybody caught up to speed on where they're at. Like, a history of Dare MMA.
Bro, hey, folks. I don't know. You might want to check, but right now the first Dare event I pulled up is completely free, ready to play.
Wow.
Are you? I'm pulling up another one. Hold on. Okay, the very first dare is free. The second dare is $9.99. The third dare is $9.99. Will Choke.
Dude, we're going to start pushing the first dares since they're free cards. We need to get that out and about.
Bro, your boy, Arnaud, the game.
Yeah, I know, man. He's a dare vet. That's when I first ran across Arnaud, dude.
He fought Haloswitski. I did not know that on Dare. Okay, cool.
I think Dare 2 or Dare 3?
Dare 2.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. They got some great cards here. And you said Ring of Combat, huh?
Yeah, I think that's the one that Weidman knocked out.
They got Ring of Combat going back forever.
Yeah, they got, like, all the way from the very first one, I think. That, CFFC. Maybe they started at CFFC at, like, 9 or something. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to see how far back. Combat goes. They got old school events.
Yeah, dude. I mean, GFL is like the current hidden gem of MMA world. Boxing, wrestling, I mean, whatever. Whatever you're fancy, GFL is there to tickle it.
Dude, Eddie Alvarez at CFFC, Eddie Alvarez at Valley Fight Series.
Well, hold on. Is that Eddie Alvarez the guy that's the amateur right now, or OG Eddie Alvarez? So you got to be careful with those guys because there's that amateur that's fighting currently over there in CFFC, XFE. I don't think he's fought at Ring of Combat. He might have fought at Ring of Combat. I don't know.
Oh, my Lord.
I know far too much about too many amateur fighters.
Hey, what's great is on GoFight Live, you can pull up the names alphabetically of every fighter that fought on any card there.
They have the directory. The directory is fucking wicked awesome.
Dude, I'm going to pull up Bruce Richards and see how many he's on.
Oh, I bet Bruce has been on like 6 or 7 events on GFO.
Okay, here we go, Richards. Oh, I guess I got to go under R, not B. Okay, Richards. Here we go. Bruce. Bruce Richards, there he is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's been on 8 of them, and they're all extreme combat events. And we have 3 of them. Gotta love that. And
unmute me.
I did unmute you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's been on 9 events there, and we have 3 of them in our queues. I can't believe that. I sit down and counted 161 events we have.
Yeah, dude. I mean, GFL, dude, is like a gold mine.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, man.
Next step, though, and I need to talk to Tim to see how I can make highlight videos off of some of the GFL stuff for GFL. Like, if they'll give me access to be able to, like, chop the videos up and make the highlights, you know, for, like, some of these guys.
Oh, yeah, dude. Totally sick. I wonder if what video Dave Crescane's on here. I want to know what fight it was.
I bet it was his fight with Ian Williams. Because wasn't Young Guns on there some one time? What's the other one over there? Young Guns or...
Oh.
What the hell is Bart's other fucking show?
No, it's Northwest Fighting, and it's Young Guns. And...
Yeah, Northwest Fight.
Okay.
Dude, this weekend is freaking Lion Fights on Friday night.
Yes, Trey hit me up today asking, shit, I wish I would have known all this. We could have had Tiffany Van Soats on right now.
Oh, man.
They were looking for people to interview her today.
Oh, let's do a special.
Yeah, Trey hit me up today. Her little PR girl lady hit Trey up asking if there's any room to get her on the show.
Damn. She's always fun to talk to. She'd be our return guest.
Yeah, that'd be like her fifth or sixth time on the show.
Yeah.
And I'd like to talk to her. She's running out of competition. You know, what's her next step? I really want to know. Does she go MMA or does she just continue being dominant?
See, that's why I was like, man, she's the queen of the hill, bro.
Okay.
Never leave a throne. Never leave your throne.
Then I want to ask you. You're Tiffany, and you've got your title. You've got your defenses. At this point, you're focused on and down the path of becoming probably one of the 5 GOATs in women's Thai in the last 10 years. Do you take a catchweight fight at 140 against Cyborg?
I wanted to go tour Asia, man, and beat people up.
I think she should go overseas as well and start fighting in Asia and Puckett and, you know, hitting up some of the places like that. But as...
Take some fights at the stadium. Tiffany Van Susen needs to fight at fucking stadium.
I agree, but I'm asking you, if you're Tiffany, do you take a catchweight fight at 140 against Cyborg?
Nah. No, it's a... I don't know, man. I don't know about that.
I think, personally, it's not a good decision because it doesn't benefit her Thai career in any way. But second of all, I don't think Cyborg will be able to do what she did to that young lady, to Tiffany. I think in a true Thai fight, Cyborg loses.
I don't know that Cyborg can make 140, though.
Well, she fought at 142 for her last fight. You're asking Tiffany to come up 7 pounds out of her championship class. You know, so 5 pounds is fair. I say you don't take that fight because it's no benefit. But, you know.
Tiffany's got a pretty good chin, though.
Tiffany's got a nasty fucking push kick that I believe would really frustrate Cyborg, because she's not going to be able to get in there and manhandle her. Not only that, Tiffany's dominant in a clinch. Go ahead and try to fucking clinch with her and see if she don't dirty you up with those elbows.
Oh, yeah, I know.
How many times have we seen her do that? Somebody clinches up with her, she just whoops them with elbows in the clinch for it.
Well, I like when she follows that front kick. You know, she'll follow it in sometimes. She'll throw the front kick and then go right into the clinch.
Dude, and her ability to turn that hip the way she does, I'm sorry, Cyborg will never have that power, because Cyborg has potentially been a mixed martial arts fighter, whereas sometimes turning that hip so deep and really using it correctly can leave you vulnerable to a takedown in the clinch. But she don't have to worry about that. Tiffany's never had to worry about that, so she knows how to really use her hips in the clinch to bring those knees in. Small things like that that I think would really frustrate and mess up Cyborg.
I agree. At least I would hope. I would be rooting for Tiffany to win that, for sure.
And I believe Tiffany's too sound of a fighter to get into a brawl.
Oh, yeah. Well, technically, you know, she's going to be way far, light years ahead of Cyborg.
But that's
Cyborg is going to have raw power. Like, the thing you have to worry about is, like, Cyborg's boxing and maybe catching a hook. You know, that's going to be the thing, is like, if you get in close on her, Cyborg kind of reminds me of, like, 2002 Vanderlei Silva. She gets in there and starts winging hooks, and, you know, one of them's going to hit. Kind of like the guy did to Morteza, you know? Like, the guy just kept throwing that right hook until finally Morteza ran out of real estate, and his back was against the cage, and the guy connected. You know, I mean, we talked with Peter about that last night.
Yeah. The question is, you know, like,
why don't we? But let's first, before we have her fight Cyborg, I'd rather have her fight your koala bear.
I'll be honest. I think that's a really good fight at 135 for both.
Tracy Lockwood versus Tiffany Van Susen. That's what I'm talking about.
Dude, I like that.
I know you like that. I like that, bro. Everybody should like that. If you don't like Tracy Lockwood versus Tiffany Van Susen, you need to pack up your little bag and hit the highway.
I still would have to say my koala bear loses.
Wow, really?
Yes. Now, I tell you two things. One, I believe that Tiffany's style of Thai fighting is different. It's more an American style Thai fighting than what Tracy Lockwood does, which is a true traditional Thai fight. So there's differences there. I would give the advantage on stateside to Tiffany, as well as in Bangkok to Tiffany, because of her talent level. She is that damn good. I think it would not be a finish. I don't believe she'd finish her. I believe she'd win by decision. Truthfully, we've seen Tracy Lockwood's got a one hell of a fucking cinder block chin. you're not gonna knock that girl out. I don't care who you are. But the fight I want to see, which we probably will never get to see, but God willing, I want to see Tiffany take on Julie Kitchen.
Oh no, that would be fucking great one too. I kind of like Tiffany versus Bukow. How about Julie Kitchen, Tracy Lockwood, and Tiffany Van Suys versus Bukow?
He still wins. Dude, I'm looking at Julie Kitchen's photo right now, and it's one of her, like, you know, set-up photos for, a photo shoot, but there is 19 belts standing in the picture that all belong to her.
Yeah, dude, she's a savage, bro. In,
dude,
like, the most awesome 40, kind of way.
47-10 is her record with 19 titles. And if you guys have never seen the photo, it's like two punching bags, the big one, completely stacked with belts higher than she is tall.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Dude, you know, she was the first ever woman in 2011 to be honored with the Cornwell Tie Award, the first ever woman in the history of that award to be honored with it. I mean, you go back to, like, 2004, dude, she was winning kickboxing titles. Yeah. See, I think that's a good fight right there. And she's fought in one titles anywhere from 59 kilograms to 67 kilograms. That's a good little range, actually.
Yeah, I like that. That's like, you know, that's like the welterweight, middleweight boxers, you know, they're junior welterweight.
Yeah.
Although they kind of bounce around, you know, from like 142 to 154. Makes it a lot more interesting because, you know, you get in that range there and then you can really get some awesome fights. That's why I think, dude, we need to look at, like, some of the top-ranked other women TIE fighters and, like, build the bracket and throw it to Lion Fights and see if they do, like, a tournament. You know, Chris Coley's fighting on that Lion Fights card this weekend, too.
He is. Big shout-out also coming up real soon to Cameron Rivera Sevilla making his pro boxing debut.
Yeah, I wonder – I need to talk to Cameron and find out if he's going to strictly be doing the boxing gig or if he's going to do both.
Well, with him going pro in boxing, that's going to fuck him. He's going to have to become a pro in MMA, too. Hey.
Hey.
Oh, but I lost you.
No, I'm right here.
But, yeah, isn't he going to have to apply now for a pro's license in MMA once he takes a pro boxing fight?
Yeah. Well, I think he was turning pro anyway.
Okay. Well, I wondered after his last fight, I mean, there's not much competition left for him in the amateur ranks.
Well, I know that Nick Vernon wants a rematch.
I'll be honest. I don't understand why.
What do you mean you don't understand why? That was a hell of a little fight, man.
Dude, it was
one
great
punch in the fourth round. Got one punch in the fourth round.
Dude, it was a good fight. I'm not going to lie. But I think that night Cameron proved to him that he's the better fighter. Or, I mean,
I want to see it again. Yeah. I want to see it again. And that's because I'm being selfish.
Well, I think they both need to go pro and do it as pros. Why put on another fight like that? Look, let's be honest.
I'm down with that. If they do it as their as pro debuts, that would be even better.
See, Cameron.
Because then we're going to get 5-minute rounds.
Yeah, Cameron and Nick both, they're done with the amateur ranks.
Well, yeah, they should be.
You know, and I say, hey, promoters out there, we want to see this rematch. Balls up. Fly these kids to Tennessee, Texas, Florida, or wherever, Ohio. I don't care. You guys want to fight a truly one of the best fights you probably could ever get on your card for beginning pros? You guys book these two kids. They'll leave that shit all in the cage, man. And, I mean, they do. They are impressive. The guys they have beat on their list to get where they are today are not chumps.
I'd like to see them do a fight where it's like one round boxing, one round wrestling, one round MMA. Nick Burnham versus Cameron Sevilla Rivera.
Okay, hipster.
Dude, you're the hipster, bro.
I'm the OG hipster. I'm the original.
You're the OG hipster. There's no such thing.
Yeah, you saw that nice little picture Carly shared with you. I tagged you in with the fucking
I just got on some wireless.
Hey, don't forget, folks, Coliseum Extreme Fight in South America. Go off. I hear that everything is set, ready to rock. So don't forget to get your special edition Soapalicious.com El Toro soap. Support Anthony Burchak, MFC Bantamweight Champion, by buying some of that kick-ass soap. It looks cool. It almost looks like food, though.
I know. I think I need to get, like, I think we need to get some samples, bro.
Yeah.
I think Soapalicious needs to mail us a couple. We need one autographed bar and then one to use.
I'll take the autograph. You take the one to use.
Well, yeah, because you don't use soap, homie.
I don't. I use nature's love when it rains. The Mother Earth washes my soul clean. You big carbon footprint freak.
Folks, get your waders out, everybody. The shit's getting deep in here.
So, I just posted on your picture to Mr. Burchak. We'll take one of each, one autograph, one for a test.
Yep.
Dude, I would
double
totally.
That. Hold on, watch this. Double that.
I would so fucking totally take a bar that signed by him. How cool would that be? Let's be honest, folks. Bantamweight, badass, champion, Maximum Fighting Championships first ever. History setting. And he did it like a champion and finished that fight. I'd love to have that sign. It would be one of the cooler things in my collection.
I'm going to ask him, what's it like to have a soap? And does it have, like, the defense soap, since he's a grappler, did he have that incorporated into the mix?
Dude, I'll be honest, I the logo's really, really cool. The packaging in a whole is really cool. I would be curious to try it, honestly, to see, you know, more about it. I'll be honest, I've used the same soap my whole life. I'm an Irish Spring guy, you know.
Irish Spring's a good one. I wish we could watch the commercials from Germany for Irish Spring.
Oh, dude, there's nothing like that.
I end up where commercials are commercials, my friend.
Dude, the Guinness commercial, the greatest commercial out there, folks. These two cops pull over. This guy is drinking and driving. He's swerving all over. And the cop walks up. The first cop walks up to the guy. He gets out his car, and he's like, top of the day to you, sir. And he's like, you had a wee pint of Guinness, did you? And he goes, a wee pint or two. He goes, I'll be the judge of that. And also the second cop walks up, and it's like this ridiculously hot redheaded, female cop dressed all in her outfit, all tight. And he goes, would you sleep with my partner here? And the guy in the automobile, you know, standing there, looks up, and he's like, wow, yeah. He goes, you're drunk. You're going to jail, buddy. And then all of a sudden he shakes his head, and it's like the ugliest chick you've ever seen in your life. I love it. It's hilarious. But you couldn't play a commercial like that here stateside because folks in the States would be like, well, you're making fun of drinking and driving. But still, you know, when the guy looks and realizes that the cop is not this hot, sexy redhead, it's this horrible, toothless, naggy, redheaded chick, and they arrest him, it's hilarious. And Lopaki, you better fix your jazz because it keeps messing up. I'm watching the board. But, yeah, so everybody out there, back to what we were talking about. Soapalicious.com, hashtag the bull, all natural. It's a beer based with citrus, mint, and cocoa and honey. You guys get El Toro signature soap at soapalicious.com or tweet at them at soapalicious, hashtag the bull.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
I got this down. I know how to take care of our boy. I'll make sure we get his stuff out there. Okay, there we go. Time for the bull.
Mess with the bull, you get the horn, son.
I thought I lost you. What is going on?
I was trying everything in my power to lose you. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're doing a good job of it.
I figured. I mean, I lost myself somehow.
Hey, big shout-out birthday to Mike Camp. We understand he's partying up. He's celebrating his 21st birthday like a champion. You know, he couldn't make it tonight, folks. Here in about 20 minutes, we'll probably go grab our next guest. But we'll have him back on. You guys, this guy's a beast, man. He's on another level. You guys, he is tied to all these organizations, whether it's matchmaking, you know, consulting, whatever. But King of the Cage, Legends Fighting Championship, North American Fighting Championship, Rhino Fighting Championship, Roctagon, Copper County Cage Fight, Silverado Cage Fighting. And he is part owner of Fight Matchmaking, Inc. So you folks get out there and check out Mike Camp. Check him out. Look for him on Facebook. He is tied to all those great organizations, and we wish him a happy birthday. And we understand he's a little tied up tonight to join us. So, but we do have Jordan Hyatt coming on next, and that kid.
Yeah, we do. He's put on two great performances here in like the last month.
Yeah,
he's sitting in an airport somewhere. We got to figure out. He must be on some military thing today. But he's sitting in an airport. He's going to talk to us. He's a jet setter. Who was it last night that Alan was talking about being a jet setter? Shannon Rich?
Yes.
I have a feeling this guy's a jet setter, too.
Hey, you know, I want to say something to you, buddy. And I'll say this on air. Because I know he's going to listen, and he'll say something later, but I really don't fucking care. She's a nice lady. She did a great job in her interview. I had fun with her on the show, and I would have her on the show again. And there's certain people we know that are just party poopers. The whole time he was texting me, dude, I don't like her. I'm like, dude, then don't fucking listen to the show.
Two.
Dude, the same guy who sent me those pictures.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was like, dude, then quit fucking listening to the show. Come back on when we have our next guest on. But don't bag on her, dude. She's a great
lady.
Dude,
I loved her. I thought she was fucking rad, dude.
Dude, I did too. He's had dealings with her that went wrong probably because of his, you know, mistakes, and he just, you know how he is.
He probably was trying to sex her.
Dude, I so, dude. I laughed about that all day. Dude, like, every time I looked at my Facebook and I saw that picture, I was like, oh, snap.
Yeah. So what event are you looking forward to this week?
Hey, as much as this might trip you out, as well as other people, I'm looking forward. There's two events going down this weekend that I'm kind of interested to watch. Obviously, the Hayes versus Munson fight at Cage Warrior Combat November 2nd. Michael 300 Hayes versus Jeff the Snowman Munson. Jeff Munson coming back home to fight in his backyard after a 10-year hiatus of fighting around the world. And
he's
a
gangster.
And then we got Mo Smith on that card versus Matt Kovac. That card, I'll be honest, I kind of want to watch it, but I'm more interested in Friday, Saturday's back-to-back CFFC.
Back-to-back what?
CFFC 29 and 30, Saturday.
Friday night, Saturday night, yes.
Bantamweight titles up, Sterling versus Roberts. That's going to be a good one. The champion, Abjamana Sterling, will be fighting Joel Roberts for a title defense, 7-0, going against 9-4. That's the big fight on that on the Saturday card. On the Friday card, the Bang versus Smith. Jeff Smith will be taking his 10-2 record and fighting Andy Main at 7-1 in a featherweight clash. That fight has a lot of potential for who goes for the title. Also in the co-main, Zoo is going to be fighting Pat Holt in the heavyweight. And anybody who hasn't seen this guy, Azani Zoo Awani, this dude is legit fun heavyweight to watch. He fought the A-Train a couple, I think three fights ago. And, was that just a barn burner until someone got knocked out. So I'm looking forward to those. Hey, also, I found a couple of fights on the show fights, heavy hitters that Jimmy Baker's covering. There's a couple of fights there I think that could be pretty good, honestly. The main event is for the show show fight heavyweight championship. Josh Hall for Ferries. He's going to be fighting for the vacant title against Travis Kelly. I like big boys. I think that's a great fight. Also, I believe the lightweight title is up that night with Sean Tiger fighting against Max Humphrey, I believe. Yeah, Max Humphrey. I think that's it. But, it's going to be an insane night. Oh, here we go. That's right, fans. Two events, one night. Show Fight Crawling to put together an epic night of MMA action with two full MMA cards. What better way to celebrate 2013? One ticket for $14.99 gets you to both events. How sick is that?
It's going to be interesting to see how that turns out.
I think it's kind of interesting myself, but I like it.
Well, I know you do. You think doing crazy things like that. Like, dude, I think there's like 12 fights on each card. Clover. That's 25 fights. Dude, nobody wants to go to 25 fights in one day.
Okay.
You know how long it takes to get through 17?
Hey, Bama USA. Bama USA last week, okay? I started Bama at 6:30, right? First prelim fight or, undercard fight. And from the get-go, the fights were amazing. But I watched five other events start and finish before we finished. I didn't finish.
Yeah, dude, they had like a 15-fight card or something.
Yeah, it finished 11:30 at night. It was 5 hours long.
Yeah, I think that was 19 fights.
Yeah, it was.
I think I got 15 or 19. I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
There was some fucking.
But that's Bama. Bama's okay to do that. They get a free pass.
Dude, there were some great fights, man. Did you go back and watch the Cummings fight?
No, I need to go watch that one because that's the one I have still on my list.
Yeah. That was
good. Yeah, that's the one where you're talking about where she flipped the girl off or spit on her or whatever.
Yeah, she went all kinds of crazy.
Called her a cunt?
She called her she went all kinds of crazy after. And it's crazy, not one but two flying arm bars. Two in 40 seconds.
That's kind of rad, though.
Yeah. Brenneman Baker, Bama, bad beat 11. Here we go. Where is it? Oh, individual fights are up, too.
Yeah. Well, what I think we should do, I'm sure that the people have enjoyed our banter for the last hour, but we need to do some bill paying and then get ready for our next guest. Did you see where his number was at?
I have it all set and ready to go.
You're the man, buddy. You're the man.
So let's start out with a great commercial, then followed by some music, and then we'll
Sounds
be back.
Good.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that's not what I wanted to hit first. What I wanted to hit first was this
Jax
one.
Media. Helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Try to figure out where I'd fall off the tracks. Why Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clench Custom Mouth Guards. Clench Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinched.com. Again, that's GetClinched.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
Dude, for real, like, did that music get ridiculously loud tonight or what? And I had everything turned down.
I didn't think it did too bad.
Well, good. Well, we're about 7-8 minutes away from getting our next guest, Mr. Jordan, into the show. I definitely feel much better now.
See?
I do. The Battle of Chimera, the International Mixed Fights, 29th November. Do not miss it. Max Fights. It's going down in Russia, folks. You guys don't want to miss it. Okay.
So Cody Bollinger is the guy that got kicked off the show tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently he missed weight.
Surprised that they were able to keep that stuff hidden.
He just signed a 6-fight deal with, or 5-fight deal with World Series of Fighting.
Well, I guess he's not too upset, huh?
Well, it's kind of funny because, like, Chris has it posted somewhere, and it's a six-figure contract if he wins every fight.
Well, yeah, that's like, you know, counting the win bonuses, obviously. So if he lost, you know, 2 or 3, you know, whole different payout.
Yep.
Dude, I got invited to this weird Facebook page, man. It's like Brazilian, like, women that are single looking for husbands. I don't get it. Okay, dude, Beltrane, Rampage, any better or any worse?
Waste of time.
Rampage versus anybody?
I don't know, like, I don't even know, dude.
So, I'm curious. Do you think that Bellator should just drop the whole Rampage deal and just let it go to the wayside and focus back?
Like, I think Rampage versus King Mo is about the one thing that intrigued me.
Do you think Bellator should step back and go back to focusing on the tournament, the original format with young unknowns, and stay away from
veterans? Fuck yes. Yes.
Do you think that's what's hurt them, is going the route of UFC instead of the route they were originally intended?
No, I think what hurts them is the fact that they're letting Bellator or Viacom, like, use Bellator as some pawn in their anger scheme against the UFC. That's what I think.
Well, you know what I think? Let's call the guest.
I think that's probably a good idea.
Dude, I wish the elevator did this. Jesus, man, I'm telling you, this stuff is loud tonight. Oh, maybe I got my mics turned up too high on my end.
Hello?
Hey, it's Jordan.
Jordan.
Hey, what's up?
Not much, man. How's it going?
Oh, not bad.
Hey,
so
Jordan.
What airport are you in tonight?
Hold on, give me 1 second. I got to turn you up. Hey, can you hear me, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you now. What'd you say?
What airport are you in?
I'm at SeaTac.
Where are you headed?
I'm headed to the East Coast, New York, going home.
Are you headed back out east?
Yeah, we had a 4-day weekend at work, so I'm going home for a few days.
That's sweet. Hey, Jordan, real quick, I want to welcome you to Madhouse Live. You're on with Skippy Lopaki. For all the fans out there around the world listening tonight, especially some that have never met you or known about you, tell them who you are, where you're fighting out of, and what your record is.
Okay, well, my name is Jordan Hyatt. I'm from New York originally, but I'm out here in the Pacific Northwest because of the Army. I'm stationed at Fort Lewis. I fight out of Team Evolution, Marcelo Alonso BJJ, and my record is 3-1 with the Cage 1 title with Cage Quest. And I fight 185 middleweight.
That was a great title fight and a great win. I was sitting 5 feet away. Lopaki was probably even closer. We both totally enjoyed that great performance. Congratulations on that win. That's a tough opponent.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, guys. Yeah, that was a crazy 30 hours for me. That's for sure.
What were your plans prior to the phone call Friday night for Saturday?
I was actually at my gym training when the phone call came in. I was doing jiu-jitsu, and my coach came up to me and told me to stop training, and he needed to talk to me.
Did you know then? You're like, ooh, I might be getting a fight.
Yeah, he's like, stop training, come here, don't wear yourself out. And he's like, you want to fight Larry tomorrow? And I was like, and, you know, I had to think about it, obviously, because I know who Larry is, and, you know, I know his reputation, his record, and everything. So, but all my teammates were supporting me. They're like, you got it. You know, it's not even a question. You're doing it. You're taking the fight.
Now, I'm curious, did you know that you had hurt him that bad when they stopped the fight?
No, I had no idea that he – are you talking about his MCL?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea that I'd hurt his MCL. When I found out, I was like, how did I hurt his MCL on a back-to-back suplex? But then I watched the video, and I saw the straight leg whip around. So, yeah, I had no idea, though, during the fight.
Now, you know, obviously, like you pointed out, he had a reputation. He, you know, a lot of people know who he is, know what kind of fighter he is. You know, how great did that feel to have your hand raised and that belt put around your waist?
Oh, it felt great. It was like the greatest feeling in the world. I mean, obviously, you know, I went into that fight, you know, just, you know, hoping for the best, but expecting the worst. And to have it go that well and for me to put up, you know, I think, you know, obviously the best performance I've had so far. And it was a great feeling.
Now, obviously, Lopaki's trying to mess with me for a second, but, you know, you caught me off guard for a second. You know, you go into this fight, like Lopaki said, like basically less than 30 hours, you know, at the fight time. You get in there, you show up, you fight a tough guy, you win a strap. Did you have any other fights that you were getting in the works for, and had that changed anything, or what was the plan before that fight?
Well, after I beat, you know, after I won against James Davis, you know, I was looking to, I was trying to prep myself for a rematch against Adam Catterlin. I don't know if you guys know that. I fought him back in May, and I was prepping for a rematch against him possibly in the future, but then, you know, I got this opportunity, so I took it.
Now, are you excited to, you know, have a title and know that there's going to be guys who want to come fight you now that maybe would have overlooked you before?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was just a good opportunity to be able to beat a guy like that, you know, that really kind of propels me, you know, a lot, fast-tracked me more so than, you know, going through, you know, fighting the lower guys, no names, so.
Now, obviously, you know, you're building yourself a career with the military. Is this something that is just a passion and a hobby, or is this something that's a passion and a lifelong dream that you're going to try to pursue fully?
Well, honestly, the reason why I got into MMA and fighting in general is just because I was bored because I wasn't competing in anything because I grew up competing in sports my whole life, and I wasn't competing for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, and I was like, I think I should try something new. And I started out doing Army Combatives tournaments, actually. You know that video I showed you, Lapati? That was from the Army Combatives tournament.
Yep. What's it like fighting with your fatigues on?
Say that one more time.
What was it like fighting, you know, because in the combatives you guys fight with your six-pocket pants on. Is that kind of different, or is it something that you're pretty used to?
Well, the way the Army tournaments are set up is they're progressive tournaments. So the first day or the first couple rounds is just submission grappling. And then, you know, if you make it through that, then we go to pancration with open hand slaps. And then you move into the cage fight if they have advanced rules. Some tournaments, they only have the intermediate pancration rules.
Oh, interesting. Now, with that, obviously, you know, you're still in the military. You know, you're going through this competition in, you know, the combatives, and it's really kind of, you know, obviously lighting a fire in you again that you had lost. At what point did you decide to take it outside of combatives and go into, you know, MMA events?
Okay, well, actually in 2011, that video that I showed the potty there, that was me taking third place at Fort Lewis, and I got invited to go to the All-Army Combatives Tournament, and that's when I met Chris Davis. So Chris Davis actually competed on our team with us because he's in the National Guard, the Air Force National Guard, so they qualify. So I met Chris Davis, and we went and competed in the All-Army Tournament, and that's when he invited me to come out to Team Evolution because he was coaching there just one night a week. So that's really what kind of got me into a gym outside of the Army.
Now, with your, you know, competitive nature growing up and now finding a new, you know, passion in MMA and combatives in general, is it going to be what you try to focus on outside of your military career, or are you going to strictly focus on the military and keep this as a hobby?
Well, the military is, I'm actually getting out pretty soon, so I'm going to be shifting my career focus in the near future. So, you know, MMA is something I'm going to have to think about for sure. I mean, because right now, you know, I got a couple of good wins, and right now I'm just having fun doing it, and I want to keep doing it, keep competing, and then once the Army's done, it's going to be, you know, sometime next spring, I'll see where I'm at and see if I want to keep pursuing the mixed martial arts.
Now,
I think it's something you should do.
Well, yeah, I mean, you definitely got what it takes.
You know, I might be selfish in saying that, but I definitely would like to see you keep fighting, bro.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. No, I mean, like I said, I've been competitive my whole life, so it's going to be hard for me to walk away from something, especially if I'm still, you know, capable of doing it.
Oh,
now,
sorry.
Still training? You train with Jason Norwood, and maybe you can tell everybody a little bit about him so that they kind of have an idea of who we're talking about.
Jason, yeah, Captain Norwood, he was the Fight House, the Combatives OIC, Officer in Charge, down at Fort Sill, where I did my artillery training, and that's, you know, when I was first starting getting into the sport, and he's a great guy, he's still a great friend, I keep in touch with him, one of the most intense individuals. I mean, he's just a scary dude. For anyone that's seen him fight, I mean, he's just a bully. You know, he's strong, he's physical, and but you know, he's a great guy, and you know, he's easy to train with, easy to learn from, and that experience with him really contributed to me getting into the sport as well. It was about I think 3 or 4 months I spent with him training as like his primary training partner, and that was when he was getting ready for the fight against Josh Bryant.
Now, you know, I find this, you know, interesting, you know, that you find this passion in MMA. What do you do outside of MMA for your downtime? What I guess, sports, hunting, fishing, what do you do for keep you excited outside the sport?
I mostly just physical fitness. I mean, besides the Army, I mean, the Army takes up a lot of my time. So during the week, it's Army, go to my gym and train, and then go to bed and do it all over again. But I also enjoy lifting weights, and I think some of my success has come from my training in the weight room. And Yeah, so that's really what I do for fun.
So your conditioning seems like it's off the charts. And then the fact that you typically only cut about 10 to 15 pounds before a fight?
Well, right now I'm in pretty good shape, so I have a pretty small weight cut. But when I lost to Adam Catterlin down in Tumwater at the Northwest Fight Challenge, I had a 17-pound weight cut in 30. I did that in 30 hours, and that really took it out of me. So after that happened, I vowed to not do that again.
Yeah, Skippy's not a fan of that.
Yeah, look, where I come from, bro, and you're a fighter spot at the walking weight. You talked about this tonight. That's a disadvantage for some of these Asian fighters right now in the lower weight classes who are fighting and Americans who are cutting, you know, 25, 30 plus pounds where they're cutting 8, 12 pounds, you know. I think I would prefer to see guys like you cut 5, 7, 10 pounds max, you know, and come in, not only feel better, but have more fluid around your brain, not be so dehydrated, and feel like you're ready to perform so you put on a better fight for the fans. I mean, some of that's egotistical, yeah, because I want to see better fights. I don't want to see guys who get lethargic in round three due to a weight cut. You know, it kills the fight. So I like the fight to do that.
I agree with you 100%. And I think the big difference comes from whether you're cutting weight last second or whether you're dieting down. If you make a 30-pound weight cut, but it's all from good diet and you're losing fat over the course of 3 months, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you're losing 30 pounds in 2 days, dehydrating the shit out of yourself, you know, I think that's where the problem is.
Yeah. Now, you're obviously getting ready to go home, Hank, see the family. What's the first dish you want to eat when you get back east?
Oh, man. Well, honestly, guys, I'm supposed to be fighting November 23rd on Brian Johnson's card, Northwest Fight Challenge again, so I probably won't be indulging too much unless I want to do that big weight cut again.
Are you going to be fighting AJ or are you fighting Catterlin again?
No, Catterlin's actually fighting on the card as well. We both got 185 super fights. And I'm fighting a guy named Caleb Padgett. I'm not sure who he is. I know his name's out there. He's a 3-1. I think he's got a little bit of community college wrestling, something like that. But that's the guy I'm supposed to be fighting.
Now, here's a funny thing for people out there. The thing that I noticed first and foremost in your James Davis fight was your wrestling ability. And then when I was talking to you after the Larry Pereira fight, you kind of mentioned to me that you never really had any formal wrestling training. That just really shocked the shit out of me.
Yeah, obviously training with Jason Norwood, he's a West Point. He went to West Point and he wrestled there. So I got a little bit with him, but nothing formal. And then, no high school, no college, none of that. Really, my wrestling started with Jason a little bit. And then, with Team Evolution, Mike Joy, he's a good wrestler. And then he certainly is. And then that James Davis guy that came to my unit recently was a WCAP, the world-class athlete for Greco-Roman. So I've been working with him, too.
Damn. Now, what are you guys putting in the water at Team Evolution? Because that night, I think you swept every title except for the one where the guy had left the gym.
He was training at our gym all the way up to the last month or two, Cameron.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just we just train hard, and we're real supportive of each other. It's just great teammates over there, great atmosphere. And Kurt's an easy guy to train with, and he it's just I'd say it's the overall atmosphere and just the team spirit. Everyone backs everyone, and I think that's what it is. I mean, I don't know, and I mean, great coaching. I mean,
so who do you like? Who's your favorite sparring partner?
I actually end up sparring Big Sam Rice a lot, because I'm one of the bigger guys at the gym, believe it or not, and so I always end up sparring Big Sam Rice. I don't know if you guys know him. He was at Absolute Chaos too. He won the
he was the kickboxer.
You have to kick off the beat, Matt.
Leg
Apalva.
Kicks all night. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I know all about those leg kicks.
Damn. So
yeah,
would you
rather
work with a big guy like that, or would you rather work with some of the smaller, quicker guys like maybe Fernando?
Well, I work with Fernando. Me and Fernando are good buddies, and, you know, we train a lot, too. But I'm actually significantly bigger than him. And, you know, despite what he likes to say, you know, it doesn't benefit me that much. Yeah, I hope he doesn't hear this because he's going to kill me.
Yep, the next time you're in a Shark Tank, he's going to be like, remember when you said it doesn't really help you? Here, macho.
Yeah, he's going to yeah, he's gonna come after me for this one. But no, also, Mike DeVos is very, very talented and great. I mean, obviously striking, he's on a whole other level, and he's good to spar with as well.
Dude, his kicks, that night at Cage Quest, man, he threw some badass kicks.
Yeah, he's been doing...
I think he almost threw a question mark kick that night.
Yeah, the crescent kick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been doing karate and taekwondo, I think. I mean, he's been kicking ever since he was, you know, barely able to walk, so...
And
then
he Fuentes that night ate a few of those kicks from Mike, and I was like, damn.
Yeah. I think AJ was still...
Larry with.
Oh, my God. I give Larry all the credit in the world because, I don't know, like, he's got a crazy chin because my foot literally was sore from that kick the next day. Like, when I got out of bed, I could barely walk from that kick.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, that caught him so flush. And for him, it didn't even faze him. Like, it didn't even faze him. It was crazy.
Could you imagine, like, if, like, you know, because he's a police officer, right? So, you know, he's, dealing with some of these shady dudes, and these guys all think they're tough. And just imagine they punch Larry, and then he kind of just smiles back. And I'd be like, uh-oh.
That's exactly what happened. I think the shot to the kick right after that to the ribs, I think that hurt him a little more than the face kick did, which is crazy.
Oh, I think you're right on that. Because he kind of buckled when you hit him with that right there in the
circle. Yeah, with that side kick.
It's a great tool.
Yeah, I was actually working with Mike DeVos on that exact kick the day before on Thursday, actually.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you'll see, I mean, Lopaki and me watch a lot of K-1 and Thai fights around the world, and we've seen a lot of fights get finished with that same kick. You know, if you can place it at the right place and time, man, that can hurt somebody. And I know a lot of people in MMA are scared of that kick because it leaves your leg out as high, and you can be taken down, you know, by a good wrestler pretty quick, you know, if you're not ready. So I understand, you know, the concern there, but you throw it so fast. I mean, it was just like, wham! It was like, wow, that was some speed. It's hard to catch that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that kick can be devastating. I like it, that's for sure.
Now, do you have a gym back east, or are you going to just refrain from training and just kind of relax with the family and friends all weekend?
I probably just focus on strength and conditioning. That's really what my base is in, just getting stronger and becoming a better athlete, and I can always do that anywhere. I don't really have a gym that I ever trained at back east, so...
Well, that'll be good. You know, it'll be kind of nice to get that break and then be able to, like, close up camp when you get back. Maybe, you know, you might even come back with a little pep in your step, you know, and be, like, a little bit more invigorated.
Exactly. Yep. That's what I'm hoping for.
Now, what was it like telling your mom before you had your first fight?
Oh, man, my first fight. My first fight was before I deployed in 2011. It was down in Aberdeen. It was like in a high school gym with like cut up wrestling mats and a little small ghetto cage. So that was an interesting first fight.
Yeah, that thing was like a phone book, a phone booth, phone book. It was like
Oh, did you see that fight?
Yeah, I was
okay.
Stuff
down. Yeah, that was well, telling my mom, she's nervous. She's always nervous. She was nervous when I told her I was going to the military. She was obviously nervous when I deployed. And she always is nervous, but, you know, she gets over it, I guess.
Did you join straight out of high school, or did you go to college and then ROTC and then come in?
I went through ROTC. I'm an officer. I went through Cornell ROTC, and I went to school at Ithaca College and majored in physics.
Oh, shit. So you're actually, like, a smart guy.
Yeah, that's, well, I guess you could say that. I'm planning on going back to grad school when I get out of the military for physics.
And then, so would you relocate or would you stay out? Do you like the West Coast and Washington, or do you kind of miss being back home?
I miss being back home. I'm most likely going to relocate, but if I do get that Adam Catalin rematch, which is supposed to happen sometime in the spring, I will come back for that.
He's like, I will come back. He's like, this is something that really sits wrong with you, isn't it?
It was just a terrible night for me. I mean, the big weight cut, like, you know, I just got back from deployment. It just was not a good night for me. I'm not taking anything away from Adam Catalin. He's a world-class wrestler, world-class grappler. But you know, I was not my best that night.
Now, you talk about relocating. I'm curious, if you go back to the East Coast, have you kind of looked around yet and seen what gyms are out there to train after fun if you don't keep fighting?
I know there's a couple out there. I haven't done any real research yet. I mean, I got some time to kind of figure that out. But I think Matt Serra's is still down there. Donald Cerrone's. I mean, maybe you guys probably know better than me. I don't know.
Oh, dude, you got Gracie gyms. You got Tiger Schulman gyms. You got Matt Serra's. I mean, the list goes on and on and
Where
on.
Where did Regman and those guys train at? At Tiger Schulman's. That's right. Well, dude, you got Henzo's got a place out there. Serra, you could go up into Canada. You can go over to Boston and train at, like, Team Sityadong. Lausanne MMA is over there
yep.
in Massachusetts. Sam Oropeza has a gym in Philadelphia. I can't think of the name of that one off the top of my head. New Jersey's got a few places. Yeah, no, definitely, man. We can help you out if you decide to make that transition.
Yeah, I'll probably dabble at least, you know, just to see if I can juggle it all and do it, but... I mean,
well,
yeah,
I mean,
it sounds like I have.
Peggy Morgan is a college professor, and she's on this season of Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing with Jason Norwood. He's an active duty officer, and he was on the, what is it called, Fight Master.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know it's possible, so I'm definitely keeping my options open.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was really awesome to be able to watch you in the James Davis fight. And then to see you fight at Cage Quest 3, man, it was just like, I was like, damn, I was highly impressed. I think that if anybody says they weren't, they're just full of shit and they ain't wanting to say it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, James Davis is a big win for me because, like I said, I was coming off that win where I was just real depressed and just had a terrible night, and I needed a big win. So that was big. And then to have the opportunity at Cage Quest made it, you know, the icing on the cake.
That is, I mean, like, let's be honest, man. I mean, 30 hours, walk in, walk out with the title. That's a great deal. I mean, you made the most of that opportunity. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I appreciate Eddie Blackburn giving me the opportunity. I mean, I know he called a few other people first, but that's understandable. But, you know, I was the one that said yes. So.
Now,
well, when he asked me for a 185, we're asking who I told him.
Jordan Hyatt.
Oh, you were the one that gave him the name?
Yep.
Yep.
Hey, I appreciate that. That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Dude,
I was like, I just watched this guy beat up James Davis 2 weeks ago. I'd like to watch him fight again.
That's exactly what he said.
I do shit out of really selfish reasons, Jordan. And
hey, you know what?
I find it absolute chaos. And so I was like, I wouldn't mind seeing this guy go again.
Hey, you know, it worked out for me pretty well. So, you know, it worked out for both of us, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, for sure.
The belt. I gotta ask you: have you taken it anywhere cool or crazy and worn it?
I was thinking about wearing it for Halloween, just walking in as the champ, but I didn't end up doing that. But no, I took it into work and showed the people at work and my commander and everything. But other than that, not really.
That's cool. That's cool. Now, do you have it like on a mantle? You are hanging on a wall? What?
It's just hanging up. Yeah, it's hanging up in my room.
That's cool.
Will it eventually make its way to Team Evolution?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I don't think they have. They keep the belt there. Not that I'm aware of.
You should keep it forever. Get it in one of those like glass frame boxes that you can buy through WWE.com for belts, and like frame that shit. Keep it forever, because I'll be keeping my championship belt forever.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely keeping it forever. That's a fact, and hopefully I can keep it company with a few more.
That's what I like to hear. Well, I know that you know, you're chilling at the airport, and you took a lot of time out tonight of, you know, to hang out with us on the show and let the fans around the world get to know you. Before we run out of time with you, take this time, man. Anybody you want to thank, any shout-outs you want to give to friends, family, gym, any sponsors, any social media information for fans to follow you, man, run at it.
All right, well, I'm not currently sponsored, so, you know, anyone that wants to throw me a sponsorship, and I'm here and I'm open to it. So, but no, I'd like to thank definitely my family. My parents have just always been so supportive of me and everything I've done. They've been to every competition I've ever been to since I was, you know, 3 years old playing T-ball all the way up through college football and everything I do. My brother, my number one supporter, my number one fan. So my family is just huge, and you know, my girlfriend's always been supportive through deployments, through fights, through the last 3 years. So, you know, I want to thank her as well, and all my training partners, Team Evolution, Kurt Finchner and Emily Finchner. They just welcomed me with open arms at their gym. Chris Davis, Mike Joy, all those guys that helped me prepare. For, you know, to be better and be where I'm at right now. My training partners, Fernando, Mike, you know, list goes on and on. I mean, I'm going to miss so many people. And then, you know, the Army, my commander, he's cool. He lets me do this. He could probably say no if he wanted to. And, yeah, that's basically it. I'm probably missing some, but I got the majority.
See, Jordan, I'm glad you touched on that, actually. What kind of things do you have to go through to get clearance from the Army in order to be able to fight?
Well, because of my position, I don't really have to go through the hoops, say, like a normal, like, private or soldier would have to go to. Like, you have to go to a squad leader, team leader, and push up the chain, and then, you know, at any point they could say no. I mean, I'm an executive officer of a battery, so, you know, I just talk to my commander, like, hey, I got a fight coming up, and I give him the details, and that's basically it. And our brigade commander is he's a wrestler, too. He competed in grappling and stuff, so he's super into the, you know, warrior spirit and everything, so he doesn't mind either.
Nice. So at least you got a guy that gets it.
Yep, absolutely.
Man, we appreciate you coming on tonight, buddy. Go and enjoy your vacation. Have a good time with the family, and then hopefully I'll see you on the 23rd.
Absolutely. You going to be there?
I believe I'm going to try and make it.
You guys going to stream it? So my family has really enjoyed that the last couple fights.
I don't know. I'm not sure what Brian does on that. So that's kind of really up to the promoter. And the last two promotions that you fought at, both of those promoters kind of, they encourage us to stream, but not all promoters are that way. So that's just a conversation that we'll have to have with Brian.
All right. Well, that sounds good.
But we will definitely let you know. I mean, either way, I know it's nice for a lot of the fans that have people in other areas to be able to watch that. I think Fernando had some family from Illinois watching. You had some people from back east.
Yep.
Nick Coffrin had some people in California watching. Where else was it?
Yeah.
Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, for Larry, Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii. God, there was a bunch of
Mexico.
Places.
No, Alfonso wasn't fighting, so Mexico wasn't tuned in.
No, Israel was for me, though. Yeah!
hey, guys, that's one more thing I'd like to say, too, is I hope Larry recovers well. I mean, no matter what, you don't want to see someone get injured like that. And, you know, so I hope he recovers and does well in his pro debut.
Oh, I think he will. And I know, you know, fighters, you guys have such respect for each other, man. And it's very classy of you to, you know, point that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, bro, well, enjoy the rest of your trip back home and time with your family, man, and we'll look to talk to you soon.
All right, guys, we'll see you soon.
Okay,
all right, later,
later,
Jordan.
Yeah.
I was Jordan Hyatt, everyone. Great young amateur fighting out of Washington right now, also protecting our country. You know, just the kind of fun things you get to learn about people in the local MMA scene.
Yep.
Hopefully when he moves back home, he doesn't hang it up, man. That would be kind of a shame. I'll have to make sure I call Helen LaCour and let her know that there's a guy out there that should be fighting on some XFE cards.
Ooh, good call right there, buddy. Look
I know,
that.
Buddy, I know.
Using your noggin. Hey, I want to give a big shout-out. In my heart, this is something I think is needed to be said for everybody around the world, man. We love Boston. Go Boston strong.
Oh,
Red
shut
Sox.
Your mouth.
World champion 2013. Way to go, Eddie Blackburn. Hold on, we got a caller. Hey, 315, who do we got?
Oh, hang on. Are you on the line?
Yeah, who's this?
You're on the line.
Yeah, yeah. Who's... This is Steve Hyatt, Jordan Hyatt's father.
Oh, hey,
oh,
how are you doing?
Hyatt. I'm doing good. I got to shut you down here on the computer because it's messing up the phone. All right, there we go.
Oh, welcome to Matt.
Hey, I called the number on the screen. I didn't expect anybody to answer.
Well, now that you're
isn't
on,
that
let's chat for a second. You got a second?
Yeah, I sure do.
What do you think about Jordan and the MMA gig? Is it less stressful than the military gig?
Well, it's certainly less stressful than being deployed in a battle zone. You know, Jordan was deployed to Afghanistan for 9 months, and that's pretty stressful. You know, climbing in the ring and fighting another man, that's stressful too, but in a different way and maybe a lesser way. But really, I just called in, you know, I listened to the whole interview, and I think Jordan represented himself pretty well, and you guys, you know, asked some good questions and conducted a good interview, and we couldn't be prouder of him.
Dude, you have raised a great son. I've seen his last two fights, and I was thoroughly impressed with his performances, and he's a very respectful and humble young man.
Yeah, we really appreciate that opinion, and, you know, that's the way we brought him up. You know, compete hard, you know, win or lose, be a gentleman at the end.
Now,
he definitely does do that.
Are you back east then?
Well, no, we're currently in Mississippi, actually. My work is taking me down here, so he's going back to New York because that's where his girlfriend is.
Now we're getting the whole story.
Yeah, you're getting the whole picture now. They've been, you know, he talks about that 3 years of support. Well, it's been a 3 years and 3,000 miles in between type of relationship, so... you know, that's where he's heading this weekend. We'll see him. Thanksgiving. He's coming down here to Mississippi.
Well, that's all right. You have better food where you're at anyway. Since he can't eat, might as well not come down there this trip because the food down there. Oh, you got all the good stuff.
Yeah, it's the land of BBG, barbecue, biscuits, and gravy.
I love Southern food, man. It's like everything sloppy and crispy and spicy. It's just so good.
And you don't have to have teeth to eat it.
Oh, man. Wow, that is
well,
really fun.
If you get a, if
hey,
you get
do
a
you
chance
have any
to know Jordan.
Stories about
if
Jordan
you get a chance,
growing up, then,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you have any maybe good, funny stories that we could hear about Jordan growing up?
Oh, geez. Fun story about Jordan growing up. Oh, okay. I guess this is a pretty good one, actually. You know, again, you know, Jordan mentioned during the interview that he's been active in sports, you know, all of his life, and his brother as well. And, you know, we have just the two sons, Jared and Jordan. Well, Jared's older than Jordan by 2 years, and... coming up through high school, they both played baseball, basketball, football. And it got to be Jared's last year of football, and they needed a quarterback, and he had a good arm in baseball, so they decided to make a quarterback out of him. Well, Jordan turned out to be one of the better prospects as a sophomore, to play offensive line. So little brother ended up protecting big brother in their in the last year of football for Jared in high school. So it was kind of funny. It made for, they didn't win every game that season. Jared had a very good year, and Jordan had a really good year as a sophomore playing varsity football. But it made for some interesting discussions at home after the game. It was like Jordan. I remember Jordan telling him one time, he goes, you know what? You keep talking like that, you're going to get one of those lookout blocks. That's where you go, look out. Left that through.
Now, did both your boys go on to college with athletic scholarships, or?
Well, they went to D3 schools. They both played football. And Jordan really, he graduated with a physics degree, so he's a smart guy. And a couple of years in, he just decided that he needed to focus on his studies, and nobody was paying him to go there, so, you know, gets to that point in your life and you're paying 30 or 40 grand a year to go to school, you got to set your priorities. And Jared, the older one, was pretty much the same way. But they're both still active in sports and competitive to this day.
That's, obviously product of, the way you raised them to be, competitors and sportsmen about things. And I love it. Big fans of Jordan, I think, whether he chooses, just to continue this for a year or so and stop, he's definitely got something to be very proud of. I mean, the Cage Sport title is a really great title to have won. And Cage Quest. Sorry. There's too many. We talk about this. Too many Cage this, Cage that. But Eddie Blackburn, Every guy who's held titles for his organization, every single one of them has been a tough, tough individual. And a lot of them are going to go on to have great pro careers. So, it's impressive to see him walk away with that night.
Well, and, I thank you guys for your praise and admiration. And, again, we couldn't be prouder of him. And all I tell my sons is no matter what you do, do it as long as you're still enjoying it. And, when you don't enjoy it anymore, then it's time to stop,
Very true. Well, I thank you so much for calling in tonight and giving us a little bit of insight into your son, and definitely look forward to having him on the show again, as well as watching him in a few more fights.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Hey, have a good
awesome.
Night.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Have a great evening.
All right. Good night.
Okay, Lapaki. I mean, we couldn't ask for that. That's just super cool, man. What a way to end the show. I mean, it's a bummer that, we lost one and grabbed the other. I would love to have them both on at the same time, but his dad sounds like a cool guy. He's definitely raised, one hell of a kid there, man. A beast in the cage, folks. You guys got to get out and watch this kid perform. Lapaki, like always, I'm going to give a big shout-out to our sponsors, and then I'm wrapping it up. I'm calling it an Eagle tonight early.
Yeah, you've been ripping off the listeners for weeks now.
Hey,
ripping them off, Skippy.
It's pumpkin
spice. They tune in for 120 minutes of raw, unadulterated baloney and hogwash, and you're trying to only give them 110 minutes of raw, unadulterated hogwash.
Okay, then you go ahead and look my two children in the eyes who are standing outside the studio door in the cold for an hour waiting on Dad to carve pumpkins and tell them they got to wait 10
minutes. You know what? You should go look in the mirror and say, why did I make my kids wait till the night before Halloween? They should have had a pumpkin last weekend, damn it.
They had pumpkins last weekend. You were here. They had pumpkins on the front porch. Don't give me that. You were over here. Don't even start that. Dude, don't even. I haven't carved them yet, brother. We're carving them tonight, and they're like ready.
Yeah, you should have had them carved that weekend. I could have supervised Brody and Cash to play with knives while you were at the grow shop, and they would have been done. I don't know if they would have had all their fingers, but...
Well, I tell you what, next year you're coming over, you can carve and clean up. That's why I don't let them do it by themselves, because the mess is going to be out insane. But,
I don't doubt it.
Great show tonight, brother, man. I'll see
you
on the flip
side. Yeah, hey, man, great talking to you, and then I'll probably talk to you here in a couple hours. I got to make some chili for the annual Halloween chili cook-off tomorrow. So here's my question. Should I just make it fire to where it just, like, it burns going in half as bad as it burns coming out? Or should I just make it a mellow, neutral thing and try to let everybody enjoy it? Yeah.
Dude, develop flavors with a nice kick on the back end of the palate, you know.
That's what I'm thinking, dude, like a late kick, late kicker.
Yes, and I will tell you also this, don't put beans in it.
No, you can, well, see, that's, I had to make that clarification because they asked me, they go, are you going to be in the chili cook-off? And I said, are we talking about a chili cook-off or are we talking about a stew cook-off? And they asked me, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, chili doesn't have beans or anything in it. It's just meat and red sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, you can do whatever. I was like, so we're having a stew-off. Because it's more of a stew or a casserole when you start adding beans and stuff
bell
like that.
Peppers and all that stuff. And that's what gets me is, like, folks are like, oh, man, dude, I love chili. And then, like, they bring it to you and they tell you, I made this chili. And there's, like, bell peppers and beans and all this other. And I'm like, well, chili traditionally is just really a red sauce for meat. I mean, ground meat. I mean, traditionally chili was just cooked to get rid of rancid meats, really, and take the flavor out. That's why it was just meat and a sauce. You know, you slow cook it. You know, so I love chilies, and I'll eat chili with beans, but I think traditional chili in a cook-off should not have beans.
No, I don't think it should either. So I'm actually going to re-clarify that, and I'm going to say that I'm going to be in a Southwest stew-off.
There you go. Hey, big shout-out to all our great sponsors. You guys got only jacked for 8 minutes tonight, folks.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors. Clench Custom Mouth Guards, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Draco Impact Armor, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and Jax Media.